Good morning, everyone. Before we get started with today's episode number 26, which has already been recorded, I wanted to add this to the beginning and start with just a moment to think about Captain Jennifer Casey and Captain Rich McDougall, who were involved in an accident last weekend with the Canadian Snowbirds. The Canadian Snowbirds, to me, are a team that exemplify what it is to be Canadian. The precision and professionalism and attention to detail that they conduct themselves with every single day as a team, as they represent our country, is something that I've always looked up to and aspire to emulate. And as an act of respect to the team, the Canadian Forces, and in memory of Captain Jennifer Casey, I'd like to begin this episode with the Canadian National Anthem as played by the Toronto Symphony Orchestra. So I'm going to ask you to sit with me through that. Just take a moment to reflect and then enjoy episode number 26. Thank you for joining me for that, and thank you to the Toronto Symphony Orchestra. Now we'll continue with our previously recorded episode number 26. Hey everyone, it's Ryan here with Cardinal Aviation. Welcome to episode number 26 of the audio briefings. In episode 25, we did 25 things that the pros do that you should too. And, you know, today's episode doesn't really have a theme. I think it's about risk management, it's about decision making, and it's been an interesting week. I don't want to say it's been a great week because it has been bittersweet. And this week we've been able to use airplanes to do some really great things, and we've learned some really interesting lessons. And I wanted to share some of those with you, and you can take away from it what you will. But today's going to be a little bit kind of more about storytelling. So I want to rewind just over a week to last Thursday, and I got a call from a colleague at work, and she had a 12-year-old niece who had been involved in a horse riding accident and had been medevaced or air ambulanced down to the city to get surgery to fix her leg. It was in pretty bad shape. And she had been discharged from hospital, and she had called up and asked if I knew anybody that had any connections with any of the organizations that help get people home after a hospital stay using airplanes. And, you know, as one of my coworkers, I wanted to help her out. Now, my tail dragger Bearhawk wasn't exactly equipped to do a almost 500-mile flight comfortably for this girl. So I reached out to one of our amazing Cardinal clients, and they let me use their airplane for that trip. So got the Piper Navajo ready, and we wanted to do it right, to make it special. We were volunteering to do this trip to help out a coworker's 12-year-old niece. So made sure it was well stocked with snacks after her long hospital stay. Managed to bridge the gap between two of the club seats so that she could lay out and keep her leg elevated. And anyway, left on a flight up to Fort St. John, British Columbia, again, just under 500 miles. And there was a little bit of weather en route, up to 14,000 feet initially on oxygen. There was a line of thunderstorms, and they were slowly growing with tops in the mid-20s. And after some significant deviations, we found a gap, a visual gap through the buildups. And it's important to note that that airplane does not have weather radar. So one of my personal minimums for that flight is I am not going to cruise in IMC and risk entering a TCU or a CB cloud if I can't see it coming. So I wanted to stay well in the clear. So there was a couple points in that flight where we had to make a do we continue or do we turn around decision. But we ended up finding a gap, and for a very short time, we actually had that Navajo up to flight level 180 or 18,000 feet. So we got over the other side, got into Fort St. John, mission complete. When we called to get weather to come home, it was relayed to us that the tops of those thunderstorm lines were up in the 30,000 feet range. So we had a look at the weather en route, and there was nice high ceilings, 6,000 to 8,000 feet. With obviously rain showers due to the storm. So we ended up coming back VFR the whole way. It was about 6 hours of flying round trip, IFR one way up high, VFR the other way down low. We were able to accomplish the trip safely. And thanks to the use of one of our clients' airplanes to help somebody out and really brighten their day. Well, fast forward now 3 days, and unfortunately, there was an accident in Kamloops, British Columbia, and I'm not going to belabor it, but one of the Canadian snowbirds unfortunately had to make an unscheduled landing immediately after takeoff. I don't know what the causes are yet. It looks like it might have been some sort of engine trouble, but anyway, the two crew members ejected at very low level after what looked like completing a zoomie, which is basically where, in the event of an engine failure in a single engine jet, you translate all of your airspeed to altitude and just pitch up until you've got all the altitude that you can out of it so that you can have the best chance in ejecting at low altitude. As a result of that accident, one crew member lost her life and the other crew member was seriously injured, but is expected to make a recovery. Well, the snowbirds were on a mission. It was Operation Inspiration, which was to fly across Canada over all of our major cities and to really brighten the spirits of Canadians, to uplift the country and to give Canadians something to look at, to take their mind off of the COVID crisis. And they were so close to finishing their mission that the next day on Monday, we were thinking that we would get a mass flight of, I don't know, 20 or 30 airplanes to do a one-at-a-time single-file flyover of Vancouver to, as best we could, pay our respects to the crew members involved in the accident, to the team, and to help complete their mission. So that could be a whole episode in itself, but over the course of 16 hours, we organized 31 airplanes through the BC General Aviation Association to fly around and across Vancouver, one behind the other. It was basically a 25-mile long line of airplanes, and the coverage it got was fantastic. And that wasn't why we did it, but just to see that it meant so much means a lot to the pilots that took part and myself as the organizer of that. And again, it wasn't about us. It wasn't about me. It wasn't about the BC General Aviation Association. It really was about paying our respects to the Snowbirds team. Why I mention that here is because in organizing 31 airplanes to fly at the same time with aircraft of different performance levels and pilots of different experience levels, there was a lot of risk mitigation and planning and contingency planning that went into that in a very short period of time. And the success of it is in large part due to the extra care and attention that we did receive from air traffic control, especially the crew at Abbotsford Control Tower. And while I'm talking about Abbotsford Control Tower, I just wanted to mention another little act of service that had to do with this unfortunate accident. So yesterday, now it's been a week, it's been a week since the accident. Yesterday, a C-130 Herc departed Abbotsford Airport at 4:20 in the morning after a 2:45 a.m. ramp ceremony. And Abbotsford Tower is closed overnight. They're closed from the 11 p.m. until 7 a.m. And one of the tower controllers there volunteered to spend the night in the tower just to make sure the lights stayed on, that there was no interruption to this important flight that was repatriating the Snowbirds team, as well as Captain Jen Casey back to Halifax. And I just wanted to recognize that act as an aviator, as a member of the aviation community, that little acts like this do mean so much and are so formative in how we show our respect for our heroes. And as somebody did say in our Facebook group the other day, is that heroes pay their respect to heroes. So I want to thank that controller for spending his Saturday night in the tower. Okay, moving on to the other thing I wanted to talk about today, about decision making. So last night I got a text message from one of our clients, and he asked me to call him and he wanted to discuss the weather. And we've talked about it before. This is something we love doing with our clients. It means that they're exercising their decision-making process. They're using crew resource management because we are a member of their crew. Once they start working with us, we will always be a member of their crew if they like. And he recently got his instrument rating. And when he passed his check ride, his coach, Blake, and he sat down and set out and wrote down what his personal minimums were going to be as he ventures into the world of IFR flying. And again, those personal minimums can change with time, but at the end of the day, he is a new instrument pilot, so he did set these personal minimums. Now, his mission was to come down to the city this morning and to pick up two passengers and go back to the town where he's from. And he had looked at the forecast, the graphical forecast for clouds and weather, for icing and turbulence, and he wasn't feeling really confident about it and wanted to bounce his decision-making off of me. And the conversation went something like him telling me that he had to pick up two people in Vancouver, but he had looked at the weather and, you know, it was showing ragged ceilings from 600 to 1,000 AGL with light rain showers, with mist, with a system moving through in the morning, that he wanted to show up before the towers open nice and early in the morning, that there was forecast moderate icing en route, keeping in mind he is in a pressurized airplane, but there was forecast moderate icing from the freezing level up to, I believe it was 18,000 feet. And, you know, he just wanted a second opinion on the weather. And I knew what I had to say about it, but what I typically do is I put it back in his court. I said, you know, when you finished your instrument rating, you sat down with Blake and you made some personal minimums. What were those? And he said, well, let me grab them. I need to find them. And this is why it is really important to write them down. Write them down. Put them in your wallet so there's no question about what your minimums are when you're in the hot seat having to make that decision. And he found the piece of paper. And the first one he read to me was, I will not fly if the ceiling is below the final approach fixed crossing altitude, which is a great one. I think that is a nice flexible limit that adapts with the airport, with the terrain. And sure enough, the final approach fixed crossing altitude for his destination was 1600 feet. And with ragged ceilings of 600 to 1000 feet, I mean, that's pretty black and white. It is below the final approach fixed crossing altitude. And with that, he said, you know what, I'm going to call my passengers and we'll put this off till Tuesday when the weather looks like it is going to be better. So I just wanted to congratulate him on making a very wise decision, for respecting his personal minimums, for calling us and having that conversation with us and letting us be part of his crew. Because as I've said before, we have pilots call all the time, and I know that they typically already know the answer before they make that call. They just need support and a sounding board to validate their decision. So even if you aren't a Cardinal coach, if you don't work with us, if you have experience in weather and in making some tough decisions, offer yourself to be that sounding board for other pilots and support them in making the correct and safe decision as they move forward with their aviating. It is a great service that you can provide to your fellow aviators, both new and old, because sometimes we just need a little bit of support in that arena. One of the things that this brings us to is the idea of resulting. And resulting is something I first learned about when I heard a pilot decision-making talk given by James Marassa. And James talked about reading a book called Thinking in Bets by Annie Duke. And what resulting is when we wrongly assess the quality of our decisions by the outcome. So if we take the story of the pilot that we just told, for example, he made a decision not to go. Now, what if the weather this morning would have been better? What if it would have been flyable? It would be very easy for him to assess his decision-making process and say, you know, I made a bad decision because I could have gone. When in fact, based on the information that he had at the time, it was a good decision. Conversely, what if he looked at the weather last night and said, you know what? Yeah, it's kind of tight. It's a little bit outside my personal minimums, but I'm going to give it a try. And then he goes ahead today and does the flight, and it all ends safely, it ends well. And as a result of the good outcome, nothing bad happened, it would be very easy to look at the decision-making process and go, you know what, it was a good decision to go because I did complete the flight safely. I was able to get the job done, therefore I made a good decision. When in fact, yes, while the outcome was good, the decision, maybe not so much. So just take that for a moment, think about it, and just be cognizant as you assess your decisions that you're not placing too much weight on the quality of the outcome, rather that you're considering the quality of the decision itself. Okay, and lastly, this is where I'm going to cap it off to do with this podcast. In a couple hours this morning, I'll be doing a podcast panel, not for our podcast, but for the Flying BC podcast that's done by Warwick Patterson at Flying BC or www.flyingbc.com, or it might be CA, but anyway, Flying BC, pretty easy to find. And Warwick and Steve Thorne, Mr. Flight Chops, and I will be talking about flying helmets and our opinions on them and the merits of flying with them and how we came about deciding to fly with them. And continuing on this theme of aviation safety and decision-making, just finalizing a time right now to set up an interview for this podcast for the Cardinal Aviation Audio Briefings with Bill Yearwood. And if you're from Western Canada, that name's going to ring a bell. You've seen him on TV. He's the former lead investigator for the Transportation Safety Board. And I got to know Bill while he was investigating an accident that involved a close friend of mine. And this man is unbelievable. The things he's seen are unbelievable. And the job that he did with the Transportation Safety Board is unbelievable. So we're gonna have the privilege to talk to Bill Yearwood, a true gentleman, probably for our next episode. I'm planning it to be episode 27. And we're going to talk aviation safety and how it pertains to general aviation. Some themes that he has seen in his career, some things that we can do better to make sure that we are safer when we take to the skies. All right, everyone. If you want any other information on Cardinal Aviation, if you're looking to do some coaching, some aircraft ferrying, we just got a ferry request for 4 airplanes alone yesterday. We're working our way through now. Or if there's anything else we can do for you, please reach out to us, info@cardinalaviation.ca, or visit us online, www.cardinalaviation.ca. Also on Instagram, @cardinalaviation, and that's where we kind of share day-to-day photos of our work with our clients and some of our past work. Be sure to find us online at all those avenues. Subscribe to this podcast, and until next time, fly safely, never stop learning.